Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Classic Leet. This week it's episode 73, and it's going to be a little bit of a skeleton crew. Tonight it's just myself and Gooch. What's going on, Gooch?
Nothing much, man. Just doing a dynamic duo once again, you know?
Yep, exactly. This is actually the first time I think you and I have actually just done a show, the two of us, isn't it?
I think so. I think you've done... You jumped on our old show with Josh in the past, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've been on... I'd filled in for you a couple times. When you were... when you got your new job and you were training in, like, Wisconsin or something like that.
Yeah, which I might be doing that here in another couple months.
New job or new training?
New training.
Well, you must be doing a good job, right?
Yeah, well, I think that they have money to invest and they want to, like, buy new applications, and that means going back out to Wisconsin, but they can't buy these things in the summer. They always buy them, like, in January or November, and Wisconsin is bitter-ass cold.
Well, you know why they do that? So that you have no option other than to learn that software.
That's right.
it's like the Rocky IV of software training.
I never thought about it that way, yeah.
Stick you in the middle of nowhere in a bunch of ice and you'll come out an expert, so.
Yeah, because they always stick me in like a hotel, and, you know, the only shops around there are like way too expensive, and, you know, the internet sucks, my computer doesn't want to connect, and the only thing I have to do is watch news channels that I don't understand or read the manuals that they give me. So I see what you're saying. It's all a conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah. It's collusion. They're not going to put you down in Miami. You know, they need the you just stay focused. So.
Oh, I could get this, though, real quick on this tangent while we're on it. The old software, which was long before my time, like 10 years ago, they always had their stuff in New Orleans. And they tell me about that all the time. They're like, man, 10 years ago with that other stuff, we went to New Orleans. I was like, you guys suck.
Well, you know, it's all about timing, I guess. Well, they must have learned. They probably didn't, you know, progress the software that much in that time. Everyone's out there. They're like, oh, the command prompt still works. Let's go get some Long Island iced teas.
From the sounds of it, that's pretty much what happened, yeah.
Sweet. Cool, man. Well, this week we've got some modern news to talk about. I had a birthday last month that Tony got me some pretty cool gifts on that I wanted to talk about, so I've got some retro stuff on the pipeline as well. We did have some indie news. Unfortunately, our buddy Critical Failure dropped out at the last second. So there's a chance that he may jump in the middle of the show, and if it does, then we will hand it over to Critical Failure to jump in and fill us in there, and if not, then maybe we'll get him next week. So I think the first thing we need to do is just give a quick reminder to everybody regarding Doghouse Systems to please check out the discount code that we have with them, $25 off your purchase with the promo code of CLEET. And Doghouse Systems are pretty much the best in high-end gaming PCs, so check it out. Gooch, you still having a good experience with your Doghouse stuff?
Yeah. Nice. The first PC I got was totally insane. The second one, to be honest, I've had a couple issues with it, but Doghouse is, you know, they're rapidly working quick to get this thing fixed.
Sweet.
But so the build itself, yeah, terrific. It's super solid, though, even though this is not as powerful as the last machine.
Mm-hmm.
It is still a very sexy rig, to be honest.
What nice. What are some of the specs with the one that you have now that I guess jump out at you?
Yeah, it's got a quad core processor, not top of the line, but it's got a really nice solid Intel quad core processor. It's got a 5870, which is, you know, a pretty nice upper middle tier graphics card. It's got a 1 gig of RAM on that. Machine's got 4 gigs of RAM in it. And the case I really, really like. It's got a Thermaltake case that has a big, I'm not good with.
Is that kind of that mesh screen that looked like the, that looked like what they encased the first system that you reviewed with?
Yes. But okay. It's not the entire case that's like that. The front panel is like that because okay. It sucks air in through the front. It pushes it out through the back. It does have a giant fan, like 200 millimeter, like, to put it in size comparison, if you stretch your fist out, you know, fist, but if you pull your palm out all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it would pretty much like the circumference of my hand. If you drew a circle around it, that would be the size of the fan. It's huge, 200 millimeter fan on the side of the case, which keeps it super cool. Nice. It's got a big fan on the back. It's got room for another 200 millimeter fan on top of the case, which they don't have one in there. But I kind of like it without it because it's that mesh thing, and you can see right down inside of the case.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It's slick. I'll shoot some video of it eventually. I'm still waiting on some things before I start recording gameplay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And when I do that, I'm going to show everyone the rig. Also, lastly, it's got a red LED in the front, which looks really awesome when I turn the lights out.
Nice.
Superficial, I know, but you know.
It's all about the little things like that. I always loved the way the Wii looked with the lights off.
Yeah.
It's got kind of the little blue LED on the corners. I always thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I love that. Except, like, if I'm home alone and, like, I'm just lying on the couch and the Wii, like, flickers on like it's downloading an update, that was always kind of crazy.
Yeah. Do you remember, or did you ever listen to... Shit, what was that website? RetroNintendo.com? The RetroCast with Mike and Jeremy?
No, I didn't.
They had a Retro Nintendo show years ago. I don't think they've made a new episode in quite some time, but they had this really awesome mod up on their site years ago where this guy also provided how-to instructions, and basically, the sticker on the front of your regular old NES controller, the decal will come off really nicely. So what this guy did was he was able to mod his controllers to put LED lights in there. And then when he put the Nintendo decal back over it, it actually looked like it was etched perfectly. So it looked amazing. I'll try to look for some sort of a gallery or link to an article or something like that that shows this guy modding these controllers, because they were amazing. You haven't seen those, though?
No, but I'm going to Google that once the show is over, because that sounds really awesome.
I'm kind of a sucker for that kind of stuff, too. It would be really, really sweet to have, I don't know, like the flashiest or like the coolest neon controllers, because... I don't know, back when we were growing up and those systems were coming out, Neon and Radical were like, that was the culture, you know what I mean? So it would be awesome to have some over-the-top wild controllers right now. So, all right, well, I think we should, I know that we dove into Skyrim a lot last week. Should we talk about some Skyrim and get it out of the way first, or should we hold on to some of that for the end of the show? It's up to you, because I didn't play the game, so it's more like, do you want to talk for 15 minutes by yourself now, or 10 minutes from now?
I'll get it out of the way, cool. So that way we can open up for discussion later.
Nice.
Yeah, because I've got a lot here, but I'm not going to mention it all. But the big thing is, I put an article on the website a while back, which everyone knew about this, but just in case any of our listeners and readers didn't know, there were a lot of issues with Skyrim when it released, especially on the Xbox 360, there was an issue with textures. Like, if you installed the game on your hard drive, textures in the game wouldn't load properly.
Okay.
So, like, for example, most noticeably, when you install the game on your system and then you pull your weapons out, your hand looks like a big muddy mess.
Okay.
Like, it's just, and it was sort of the thing, like, where textures look really dull far away, and when you get closer, they sort of layer up the textures and it starts looking a lot nicer when you get closer to it.
Yeah.
They pretty much made it so those textures never got updated. So everything just looked muddy.
Oh, I gotcha.
But they've resolved that now. That was the big thing that I wanted fixed. Because I'm putting like 80 hours in this game. And I didn't want to keep it running the disc the entire time. Because my 360 probably got very, very hot.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But anyway, there was a bunch of other stuff they fixed in here. Stuff like it would crash on startup. While on PC, if you had your audio sample rate set to anything other than 4400, am I saying that right? 4400 hertz?
You know, I don't know how to say that, but I recognize, I guess I recognize that hertz or that frequency from, you know, downloading MP3s or whatever, but yeah, I have no idea if you're saying that correctly or not. 44,100 hertz.
Yeah, I've never... I've never said it out loud, so that's something I probably shouldn't have read that one first. There was some cool stuff, like if you've seen Tony put a video on the channel where he had an arrow stuck in his crotch.
Yeah, the arrow penis.
Yeah, so that should no longer happen. It was the projectiles hit your body and they just stay there. And it's considered part of your inventory. So if you got down to where you only had one arrow left and you had one stuck in your crotch and you fire that arrow, it disappears. But, you know, part of your inventory is sticking out of your junk right there.
I know. And then, like, the horse was the part of it. You would never have really been able to see it if the horse wouldn't have disappeared on him. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I thought that was... Which is another issue altogether, yeah.
I found that that article that said the best Skyrim glitches caught on tape. I have to shoot you a link. There's one where a lady's head is a basket. It's supposed to be a head. It's a basket. Oh, here's like some of the muddy stuff. They were showing like really bad rendering.
Yeah.
They're showing how people are just like hair is rendering, but not skin on some of these. They're showing mountains falling. Sleeping. I don't know. Weird. So, yeah, there's I guess with games that big, you'd have to expect goofy stuff like that, right?
Yeah, but a lot of that stuff is really charming. I think, like, the texture thing was very annoying, and that was probably the one thing people didn't like. But, you know, when someone's head is a basket, or you have an arrow for a penis,
yeah.
Or, you know, like, what was the one that was pretty awesome? I'm trying to think here. Like, I seen a lady the other day in the game who was a shop vendor, and I go to the shop, and I'm trying to sell stuff, and it doesn't look like she's there. And I hit the wait button, and I wait, because you can pass time in the game by, you know, just by hitting a button.
Okay.
So I passed by 1 hour, lady's not there. I passed by another hour, lady's not there. I fast forward 24 hours to a whole new day, she's not there. And I'm like, did someone kill her? What's going on here? And I go around her stall, and she is stuck in the geometry of the game. Like, her head is just poking out of the ground.
And then really? What happened?
There he is.
And then I sold her some stuff.
But are we exchanging Skyrim glitches?
We are currently exchanging Skyrim glitches.
That's yeah. Funny.
Unfortunately, only one of us has played it, so it's more of Gooch telling us stories.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's awesome. The best thing, it's the last one I'll mention, is I did not encounter this bug, but apparently it bothered a lot of people. You can actually get married in the game like you would in Fable or some other role-playing games. And it's actually an event. Like, once you get married, it opens up a quest, and you have to attend your wedding, and they have a little ceremony, blah, blah, blah. What would happen is corpses would come to your wedding. People would show up to your wedding, and they would be dead, your guests. And some of these are important NPCs. This might be, like, one of your friends you've made through questing or someone else, because it tries to be relevant. But, frig, they're just dead. They're just sitting in a pew, and they're a corpse.
That is awesome.
For no good reason, so they fixed that.
That's how my wedding was in real life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty bitching.
So cool. Hey, CF, is your, do you have your snowball mic plugged in?
I do indeed. I'm not sure if that's what this thing is using or not.
I don't think it is.
Do I sound like crap?
That's not the way I would say it, no. I've heard you sound better.
All right, I know what to do. I gotta restart Skype. It'll just be a minute. I'll be back.
No worries, man.
Sweet.
I haven't played Skyrim, so feel free to go ahead without me.
Okay. Good deal. So, with Skyrim, what are some other patches that have come out?
Really, that's it. Like, there was one initial patch when the game first came out, okay. That day one patch, and this was the big one we've been waiting on. To fix the texture issue, to fix some stuff on PC. And apparently it's caused some other problems, which, honestly, that was probably expected.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's at the very basic level of computer knowledge that I have. Every time I change one thing, something else breaks. So I'd anticipate that. But it's actually, I'll bring it up now since we're on the subject a little bit. I was at J2 Games before we started recording. And for any of our listeners that are interested in the Elder Scrolls series but aren't ready to invest in, you know, a $60 game, J2Games.com right now, if you use our promo code, Gooch, brand new, unopened, Oblivion's $15.99.
That's a pretty good deal. I mean, $15 for hundreds of hours of content.
Everywhere else I'm seeing is showing it at around $20. So at $16 is a really good price. So
I like Oblivion. It's a good game.
Yes, and everybody, CF is back through the cluttering that you just heard through my editing. Critical Failure is now joining us finally, which is awesome. We warned you that he may at the beginning, so here in a few minutes we will be getting to Critical Failure's Indie Gaming Roundup, Indie Gaming Corner. We need to give you a segment.
Yes, indeedy. I'm going to talk about some indie games. Now, this is definitely the season for the bundle. You guys know the Humble Bundles that have been going on for the past, on and off for the past year or so.
Yes.
And then we had a newcomer on the scene. I see this on the notes, but I don't know if you guys talked about it. The Indie Royale bundle.
No, not yet. We were going to get to that.
Okay, were you plugging the segment or did you want me to dive into it?
I was plugging the segment, but we
okay,
can jump
I was
in
getting
now
ready to do
want.
The list. No. Yeah, whenever is good for you.
Okay. Well, actually, I wanted to get Gooch's thought on Skyrim ratings before we jump into the indie stuff.
I would like to hear this.
So, Skyrim, Gooch, you have in your notes here that it's getting a 40 out of 40 from Famitsu. Is that right?
Yeah. It was the first Western game to ever get the coveted perfect score.
That's nuts.
Yeah, which I didn't
is
know.
Is it really?
Eat it up.
I mean, is it? Is it
you
true
sound disappointed.
You've ever played?
Say, what's that again?
I mean, is it really one of the best games you've ever played? I mean, still, even now that you are 80 or 90 hours in or whatever?
See, I think it's probably not one of the best games I've ever played. I said that at first, and I think it's a phenomenal game and just a truly remarkable feat they even made it work. But I think the thing is, it just makes such a strong first impression. I mean, it literally smacks you in the face and says, respect me. You know, I'm impressive. And it's amazing when you first start playing and you start seeing all these things coming up, and it's so consuming, so involving. But then after, you know, I'm like 60 hours in, and now it's kind of old news, you know? Mm-hmm. It's still a lot of fun, but, you know, oh, there's another dragon going to hack on it till it dies. Sweet, got some dragon bones. Put them in my safe.
From the time that game came out to now, 60 hours, at least to me, is a lot of time.
It is a lot of time. And the sad thing is, I've only done two major storylines for the game. I still have four other major storylines that are probably all a good 8 to 12 hours in length, not including I have probably only discovered 10% of the map.
Nice.
Jeez. And the game is like 4 gigs. It is... It's just so impressive how much content they've packed into such a tight space, and how the quality of it's all really high, but a lot of it is just rinse and repeat, you know?
Yeah.
I was scouring the internet looking for people to bash this game. This was the latest episode of Yahtzee's show where he talks trash about every game under the sun. I was like, yes, finally, someone's going to talk bad about Skyrim. And he was like, oh, hoity-toy, it's the best game ever. I was like, man, can't catch a break.
It's good.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to get it eventually.
Yeah, it's such a step up from Oblivion. I think that's the other thing that, I mean, it is leaps and bounds above what Oblivion did in terms of quality.
Like, what sort of things are quality? Is it like as small as, like, it just feels more natural to control, or it's just smoother controls, or, I mean...
It's pretty much everything. Like, the controls are much tighter, more responsive. Combat feels a lot better. The magic system is vastly improved and more depth added to that. NPC dialogue is way better, way more involving. Quests feel much more natural in progression in terms of, you know, how they pop up. And the world itself is so neat because, like, every dungeon you go to, every little thing you do seems like it has its own storyline and own little section that you can actually go through, and you may never know anything about it, you know? I ventured into a tower. Like, I seen a dead horse outside of this tower. I go inside, finding this whole crazy storyline that takes me like 4 hours about a family that got slaughtered because they just moved to Skyrim, and turns out there's like evil bugs underneath their house.
Did you do the mod that turns the spiders into bears?
No, I'm still not playing on PC yet.
Oh, right.
But I
Xbox.
Want to. I want to play, I want to try that mod. I want to do a mod that turns all the killer fish into something else because fish freak the hell out of me. I'm weird, I know, but I'm kind of scared of fish.
Like in real life? Phobic.
Yeah, like fish. I do not like fish.
Okay.
People have clowns. Okay. I've got aquatic things.
No, that's legit. I can see that.
That's why I had to quit playing Fallout 3 because there were like giant walking crab people.
Oh, so you? Okay, now I've heard you and DB joke about the fish crab people from Fallout 3. I didn't realize that it was actually like poking at a legit fear you have.
Yeah, I shouldn't call it a fear. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna. It makes me very uncomfortable to look at fish, and I have no idea where this came from. I used to go fishing all the time as a kid, and everything like that. But now, like, you know, little fish are big, and they got their eyes on the side of their face, and they're just crapping, and then they eat right where they crap, and bubbles come out of their mouth, and I don't know. I have problems, man. I have problems.
Fair enough. You don't have to love fish to talk about video games. So
word.
that's an interesting one though, Gooch. I'm not gonna lie. You're the first person I've talked to that actually really is bothered by him.
I know. I need to see a shrink or something over this, man. Because, I mean, I've still been wanting to watch Little Nemo, but I turn it on, I have to immediately turn it right off. Where's that Little Nemo? No, it's
fine. I hope
Nemo.
They never find Nemo.
Well, if you ever get over it, it's actually a cute movie.
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, that didn't bother me, but yeah. It's, anyway, Skyrim, guys. Yeah.
Skyrim, oh, yes.
Good.
Skyrim. So, everything I keep hearing about the game is it still sounds too big. This is a game I don't think I'll ever even, I don't even think I'll ever attempt it.
It's frighteningly large.
It's crazy because it actually, to me, the way it's described, it sounds like someone's describing, an MMO, but it's wild to me that this game is sucking this much out of people's time, and lives, and it's not online. That's what's blowing me away. Do you know, I guess, why that is?
Did you know that the Elder Scrolls series was conceptualized as an online game?
No, I did not.
From the very beginning, which is why the original one is called the Elder Scrolls Arena.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, I heard this story from Dorabka, the Gaming Beast, over at thegamingbeast.com. He tells me that so what happened was the guys who made this game went to Infocom. Do you know who they are? Is it Infocom? The guys who made Wizardry, right? So Bethesda went to them and were like, okay, we're going to make this RPG, and it's going to be online and stuff. And basically what happened, the really short version, is Infocom told them, you know, no way, you guys are going to suck, and it's going to fail, and you're going to lose a lot of money, and don't impede on our part of the market. And they're like, well, screw you. And they came out with the Elder Scrolls Arena, and the rest is history. But for some reason, like, it was one of those things where they started out saying, okay, we're going to make this game, and it's going to be online. And then as time went on, the more they added stuff, the whole concept just kind of shifted.
Huh.
As a matter of fact, I think it was PC Gamer or something like that. It's one of those big-time websites said that the two biggest things that people were asking for before Skyrim came out was dragons and multiplayer.
Well, they got half of it.
Yeah, they got the dragons, so hopefully whenever the next one comes out, because it will eventually, we'll see some multiplayer.
Nice. Also, this is completely random. I don't even know why this just jumped into my head. Speaking of multiplayer, I just saw a commercial on TV that DC Universe Online is free to play now.
Yes.
Gooch, didn't Tony sent you his disc, didn't he? Have you been...
He did.
Have you been playing that at all? Is it...
Not on PS3. No. It's a very painful install on PS3 because you only put in so much off the disc and you have to download a lot. And everyone knows PS3 kind of sucks for downloads. I did install it on my last computer I had that I gave to my son. And I got him started on it because I figure once you're 7, you need to start playing MMOs, right? You need to join in with the collective.
Hook them early.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful about that because my nephew got hooked into World of Warcraft so bad that my brother... His dad had to cancel his account
Because it was like every time I went to see him, he was like, you know, if you spend $20 on eBay, you can get such and such a gold, and I have this character, and you should come to this server. And it's like, dude, we're, you know, running around the yard. We're supposed to be having fun, not, you know. And this is me, who's on several different video game podcasts telling somebody to stop talking about video games.
No, he doesn't know the password, and his mom won't let him. I mean, he plays games once or twice a week. She's pretty nice. Strict on that.
Nice.
But it's good. It's high quality. I was really surprised with how well they've transitioned into this free-to-play model. And they do it in a much more tactful way than a lot of games, because you end up buying, like, power sets, or you end up buying, like, an adventure pack.
So it's not little purchases. The profit margin of the company jumped up 700% once they switched to free-to-play.
Oh, I believe it. It's a lot easier to download the game for free, play for a whole bunch, and then you're like, I'll spend $10. You know?
The only thing that's stopping me from playing it is because I'm holding out for Star Trek. Because that's what the rest of you guys are going to play, right? Because I've heard a bunch of people jump into this DC Universe thing, and it looks like it'd be pretty fun, but I can only handle one MMO at a time.
Yeah, I've never really... I mean, I stink at MMOs. I lose track of it. Like, Guild Wars, I couldn't even get out of the beginning quest, so...
I like Guild Wars. It just came at a bad time.
Yeah, I think I would be pretty interested in giving it a go on like a Star Trek if everybody is gonna jump in together.
Look at it this way, Scott. When we played Guild Wars, we had like two really good Guild Wars nights. Now, if we get that much out of Star Trek and it's free, then we got our money's worth.
Absolutely, because I think between the two Guild Wars nights, I know Tony gave me a copy, and then I bought one so my girlfriend could play with us. And I still feel like I got $10 worth of enjoyment out of hanging out those couple times. So I'm definitely going to be giving it a go. Who knows? Do you know, as when it comes to like the Star Trek, do you guys know how much they're going to do with, like, classes and stuff? I guess as far as, like, being a human versus being, like, a Klingon, there's going to be some, you know, obvious differences. But, like, inside of humans, is everybody going to be a Captain Kirk? Or, you know, would you be able to get, like, an Uhura? Or is everybody just, like, a standard cadet with different colors? Do you have any idea how they might do that?
There is some. I mean, I'm trying to remember what I played in the beta. There is some variation. You can pick kind of like what you focus your specialty in, so that way when you're in a group scenario with other people, you might be better as an engineer.
Okay.
And repairing things and quote unquote. I don't know if they heal or not, but yeah, there is variation amongst the quote unquote classes. And then, but then the weird thing is like everyone gets their own crew because everyone is a captain, more or less, and.
Oh, they are? Okay. I thought that maybe you could pick to be, like, a crew member.
No, it's like people, instead of having, like, a guild, it's like every captain has their own little crew that you actually get to pick out and customize, and then everyone comes together, and I think in fleets. It's kind of crazy.
This is really reaching. Really reaching. But do you guys remember a game called Master of Orion?
Sounds very... I think I've heard the name. I don't know anything about it, though.
All right, those of you listening, some of you guys out there might know what it is. So old space-based, I want to say strategy game, but I think I can be more descriptive than that. Strategy conquest type game, almost like Civilization, but a lot more simplified. I kind of get the feeling that that's what I think of in my head when I hear Star Trek Online described, like a 3D version of Master of Orion. And I'm sure that's totally off, but that's the impression that I get.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to YouTube it after the show to get the reference. But when I'm editing, I'll be laughing. I'll be like, yes, you nailed it.
Oh, man. It's like, when you see this game, you're going to be like, what? Where did this come from? Because we're talking like, if it was on a console, it would be on the Super Nintendo.
Gotcha. Oh, speaking of Super Nintendo, I know I'm all over the place here, and I'm glad that you're on the episode this week, CF. I found out the hard way that Super Game Boys don't allow you to play your saved games.
Explain.
My, I'll put Zelda, Link's Awakening in my regular gray brick Game Boy, right? I can fire up my waves, or load file or whatever.
Yeah.
I put it in my Super Game Boy, and the files are not there. And I have the same problem with Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins.
I've never heard of that before. But then again, I haven't tried it.
So, well, crap. I was hoping that you'd be like, oh, yeah.
I have one, but...
It's funny you say that.
So, no, yeah, I have one, but to be honest with you, I haven't used it a whole lot. Dalmar sent me one like a year ago or so, but it doesn't get much play. Yeah, that is really weird that you say that, because I'm pretty sure that they make modded ones with the audio in and out so that they can use them with flashcards for, like, chiptune composers.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's possible that the one you have has something wrong with it, but I'm going to check mine out. I'm going to go back and do a little experiment with my brick and my copy of Zelda and Super Game Boy and get back to you on that.
Yeah, dude.
Because I hope that's not true. Hoping that, like, yours is broken somehow.
Me too, and honestly, if it is broken, so what? It looks like it's nice, so I'll just sell it on Amazon and go buy another one. But if it's not broken, that would stink. That would be a... It doesn't make a lot of sense to me why that would happen, because it's reading information that would be on the actual Zelda cart, and it's just... I would view the Super Nintendo cartridge just as an extension of the Game Boy or of the Super Nintendo. So I don't know why it would be doing that. So
that's got to be a problem, because I vividly remember back in the day playing Pokemon on my Super Game Boy.
Well, there you go. So
that's got a save file.
I wonder if maybe, and I thought about this, it could be, and this would just be really strange, but I wonder if it takes a little bit more juice to actually read the save file from, like, when it's in the Game Boy versus when it's in the when it's in the Super Nintendo versus when it's in the brick. And I wonder if maybe the battery in the carts are just so old that they're on their way to dying. And so maybe they could be read in the brick and not read in the actual Super Game Boy. So I don't know. Well, if anybody out there knows an answer to this specifically, maybe we'll make this a question of the week. Do Super Game Boys actually allow you to play save games?
Question of the week.
Please write in to classiclead@gmail.com.
Seriously, feel free to poke fun at Scott.
Yeah. If you know how to fix it, please let me know. All snide comments are welcome. So yeah.
You know, if it is just the batteries in your games, that's not a difficult fix.
Nope. I looked on the back. It looks like I'd probably need to get one of those little key things. It's got a really neat looking head to it, but
you can get the bit from a site called Kitchbent.
Okay.
Yep, I can give you the link. It's spelled really weird. It's like the chiptune hardware store, but because Game Boys are really popular with chiptune composers, they sell a lot of weird Game Boy stuff, like those bits and replacement screens and that sort of thing.
Sweet.
Yeah, oh yeah. If you want to get an old Game Boy running, that's the place to go to get it fixed up. So you can get your bit there. Another thing you can do specifically with the Game Boys, because the plastic hole to reach the screw is like really shallow, and if you're only doing one, you can get a Bic pen and pull the tip out and get a lighter and melt it to the point where it'll start to change shape. Press it down on the back of a game and it will take the shape of the security bit. And then once it cools, then you can use that to open your game.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's not like... you're not going to want to make that your permanent bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm probably just going to buy a bit. I'm not going to melt plastic over it. I do have a balloon fight, though, that has no label on it. Maybe that might be my good... my little stamp for my little bit maker.
I actually like Balloon Fight and don't have a copy of that.
They were just handing them out here in Findlay, so...
Really?
Come to Ohio. They weren't handing them out. I just got this one for free. The guy had it for 50 cents, and I was like, well, I'll take it for 50 cents. He goes, I'm embarrassed to even take that. Just, you can just have the cart, and he goes, I just hope it works. Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's...
He wasn't even sure it was Balloon Fight. because it was it was written on there with a marker. So
we're talking about the Game Boy game, right? So
the
that
Game
was
Boy.
Balloon Kid then, right?
Oh, Balloon Kid. I'm sorry. Yes, Balloon Kid.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good game. I like that game.
It's not bad.
What's the matter with you?
It works.
All right, now I'm just giving you crap.
So, what do we have on the docket next? Let's do some indie stuff, and then we'll talk some Skyward Sword. How's that sound?
Rock and roll. Ready for this week in indie gaming?
I am. Take it away, CF.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, like I said at the top of the show, or at least whenever I joined this sinking ship, tis the season to buy in bundles. We had three prominent indie scene bundles all at once around Black Friday. First and foremost, we have the Humble Indie Bundle, which is the flagship bundle, name your own price, all the way down to one penny. The latest one was the Info... I can't remember the name of the company. They're calling it the Info Bundle. Had Multiwinia, Darwinia, DEF CON, and a couple other games. And they recently, last night, maybe 2 days ago, added Dungeons of Dreadmoor. And that's a beat the average thing. So if you want that game, it's going to be like three something. Good game, good bundle. I recommend you guys check it out, head over there, and sign up for the newsletter and all that good stuff. Good times. Now, on the other side of town, we have the Indie Royale bundle, which is hitting with a little bit of controversy. Because they had some issues on the last one that they did where their servers weren't keeping up with the amount of people that were coming in to buy it. So they did a couple of changes. First and foremost, they're no longer telling people exactly when the bundle is going to go live. So that way they can, you know, kind of stagger the traffic a little bit and not just get everybody lined up at the door at once. So now we know that the Christmas bundle is coming in 3 weeks as opposed to down to the minute. And they raised the price from $2 to $3, I think. It's now $2.99 to start, and you can also pre-order it. I pre-ordered this latest one, and they threw in a chiptune album from Fez, which is – I haven't listened to it yet. But I'm really liking the fact that they're integrating soundtracks and chiptune albums into the whole bundle scene. The Humble Bundle has put soundtracks for some of their games since the beginning, which is really cool. Speaking of music, let's get to that third bundle. The third bundle is the Indie Soundtrack Bundle, or the Indie Music Bundle. And that's all it is. It was a pay what you want, minimum $1, for 10 albums that were all soundtracks to games. Now, I can't remember what each one was, but I know it included Minecraft. I know it included PPP PPP, the soundtrack to VVVVVV, which,
like
by
that.
The way, yeah. I think that was a $15 album when that launched. I don't know what it is now, but... That's a good one. That tracks of that have been put on Rock Band. And then we have – there was one other one. Oh, yeah, right, Super Meat Boy. Super Meat Boy's soundtrack was in the bundle. So I picked that up, and that was good. And that had a price minimum – how do I describe it? One of those things where you pay over a certain amount and you get extra stuff. So you had the 10 albums, and if you paid 10 bucks, then you got an extra 14 albums. And I have no idea what any of those were. But I know one of them was the Binding of Isaac soundtrack. And a lot of them were from the same people that did the first 10 albums. So I'm a chiptune guy. I like indie music. I like all that stuff. So I ate it up, man. I got the smaller bundle, and I'm still, you know, working my way through all that stuff. Good times. Very good times. And if you may be thinking, you know, albums, music, who pays for music? I'll just torrent it. No, you won't. You can't find this stuff because these are like soundtracks to the game AERS or whatever that name of that game is. There's no torrent site that has that. You can't get that unless you buy it. So man up, drop a dollar on the next bundle when it comes out and get yourself a copy because it's worth it. It's good stuff. Good times. You're going to want to play some music when you're putting your 70th hour into Skyrim because get a little numb. Got to get your legs up and move a little bit. So that's what's going on in the indie bundle scene. There's a couple of small things apart from that. Those are like the dominant headlines. But also we got Cave Story Plus, which just came out on Steam. I think that's about somewhere between $9 and $10.
Sam, did you do a review on Cave Story?
I did a guest spot with Shintai. Shintai did a co-op review of Cave Story and had me on as a guest, and we talked about it a little bit.
Oh, okay. It looked real familiar when you had it on the show notes. So I was
yeah. Yeah, that's, see, here's the thing about this, is that that's a free game. Cave Story is a free game. So you don't have to pay the $9 to $10, whatever it is, to get this. But what this has is an option for a new graphic set. So it's like the, how do I put it? They've remade the graphics, but you can choose whether you want the new graphics or the old graphics. And they did the same thing with the sound. So it's essentially like the Wii version on Steam. Personally, I think it's only for hardcore fans, because if you haven't played Cave Story and you're kind of thinking about it and you see the banner and you say that looks fun, don't buy it. Go play the free game. For God's sake, it's a free game. I saw it when they first launched it. I was like, man, nobody's going to buy it. That's a free game. They're ripping people off. And then I looked at my community tab and my brother had just bought it. I was like, oh, man. Didn't call him fast enough. So that's Cave Story. And the very last thing I have is I wanted to get off the bundle path. So I looked at some of the up-and-coming games for some trailer trash. And I found a trailer for a game called Legend of Grimlock. And this is a first-person dungeon crawler, which seems to be a good time for this type of game to be released. And it's not out yet, but it's in beta form. The game is called Legend of Grimlock. And it's going to be out for Windows, Mac, and iOS. So get your iPads out. Get your, whatever that is, a phone thing. iPhone. There you go. Brain fart there. Get your iPhone out. And it looks good. I suggest going and taking a look at the video at least if you want to see something interesting. You know how these trailers are. You look at them and you say, oh, that'll be good. And then you don't think about it forever. I'll probably cover this once this gets released. But it looks good. If you like, what is that game? Etrian Odyssey and Darkspire, those two DS games. It's going to be like that. So I'm pretty doped about it because those games did well enough. But you don't see this kind of game, like on the forefront of the industry right now. It's very much a niche style. So I like this kind of stuff. So I'll be covering it when it comes out.
Nice.
Looking forward to it. And that wraps it up. That's indie gaming this week.
Cool. Hey, well, real quick, any updates on Kolteca?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Not really? New ones, but there are some updates. Yeah, I went back to work on it again, and as it turns out, RPG Maker 2K is incompatible with Windows 7. So I could go back on my old computer and finish it there, but I would be working on a product that Windows 7 users and up could not play. So my plan is, since I have the script and all the materials, and I'm only an hour into the game in terms of gameplay, and it only took me about 30 hours to make it, which sounds like a lot, but remaking it would take about half the time, because a lot of that was figuring out what's going to go next and testing and all that stuff. My plan is to start again from scratch with a newer, more compatible system. So the problem I'm running into is RPG Maker 2K is free, and the successor to that, which one of the other RPG makers, I think it's like VXYZ, I don't know, something like that. RPG Maker and then two letters, and there's a couple of them out there. Those cost. They're like $40. But it's going to be better for me for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, because that $40 gives me licensing rights. So I could actually sell the game, although it would still be free. I wouldn't actually sell it. But there's also this thing that, like, I think technically RPG Maker 2K is pirating software, because it was fan translated. It wasn't actually released anywhere in the English speaking world. It was just some guy just took the Japanese software and translated it, and it became widely distributed. So it would be nice to have my game, since I'm spanning years developing this thing, to have it on a legit platform, something that I can release and keep my website without getting, you know, once the SOPA kicks into effect, without getting a letter from the government saying I'm going to jail. So that's the update with Kolteca. I do want to finish it, but I'm running into a stumbling block. Need $40.
Well, we'll figure out something for you. Yeah. We'll get the game taken care of. But that's a bummer, man. But in the end, though, it might work out.
This is the real life of game developing, man. Things happen.
Yep. What a bummer. Maybe I'll just boot it with DOSBox. I'll go and download
it. Actually, if you could do, you're running off of Windows 7, right?
Yeah.
If you can get it to work somehow, let me know, because if that's a fact, it might be worth completing. And what I might do as a workaround, just put in like another half an hour to an hour of gameplay and then call that it and make it a two-part series and make chapter two on the new hardware.
Oh, that might work. And I my brother just found his Warcraft 2 discs. So I spent Thanksgiving trying to figure out how to get DOSBox to work for the first time. I've never used it before, and neither had my brother. And
I got a tutorial
through lots of trial and error. I got it to work, so I feel pretty comfortable with DOSBox. So I'll tinker with it.
Yeah, I think it's a Windows program, so DOSBox might not be the answer. But there are similar programs. I think you can get like a, I don't know, Windows 95.
I was gonna say maybe I just run the virtual 95 or something like that. Just virtual PC, and that'll work.
That might do it.
Cool, man. So, well, good luck with getting it figured out. I'm not gonna lie, CF, that was one of the only times I actually enjoyed playing a turn-based RPG.
I really enjoyed making it.
Part of it was because I knew that I only was going to be in it for about an hour, so I sat down with the thought, okay, I'm gonna play an RPG right now.
You know, that might not be a bad idea to just put them out in chapters like that.
So,
I don't know.
Who knows? It's your project, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they'll be making the indie movie.
I could make the level of farts.
Yes.
Where you fight farts and fishes, and that's it.
With egg rolls.
Oh, no. Just kidding about that last part.
So, sweet. Well, yeah, everybody, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, Critical Failure made his own RPG called Kolteca, and you can download the game and try to run it on a Windows 7 PC and let us know if you're able to get it run successfully. You can get it at tigerclawtv.com, right?
I don't have a link directly to it on my website anymore. I have a listing on rpgmaker.net where you can get it.
There it is.
I put it in the chat window. I don't know if it'll make the show notes or not. But it's still up. Apparently, it's still downloaded every now and then because I'm up to 176 downloads. And it was downloaded like 150 times on another web space before I moved it here.
Nice.
It's been played a couple of times, I guess.
Have you gotten any feedback from any random people or only people that you know?
When it first went onto RPGMaker.net, it made the headlines, you know, as like one of the latest games to come out, like every game does that gets put up there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a small crop of people who played it, and I got a few one-line reviews.
Nice.
One guy said, I thoroughly enjoyed this demo, though the cutscenes seemed fairly short, which I guess is fair, but I did that on purpose because, A, cutscenes are a phenomenal pain to program, and, B, I didn't want them to be too long because I kind of hate that. Another guy said, maps are far too spacious. They seem devoid of life. Smaller maps are a must. And another person said, I'll play this out of curiosity. And that's it. I think that's the extent of my reviews from strangers, though I thought there was more than that.
Well, I got some positive feedback.
Not too bad.
No. You didn't have anybody say, sit away from the computer, stop trying to make games?
No, nothing like that. The one thing that is discouraging, though, was when I put this out, I was still working for RetroWare TV, and I used that platform to promote a trailer for the game. I was like, my next review is of my own game. Wabbity-shmabbity-doo. And I got a lot of users to come in and check it out because of that. And whenever Chapter 2, Kolteca Part 2, or Kolteca Full Version, whatever we want to call it, whenever that comes out, I'm not going to have that. I'm just going to have the podcast circuit and whatever my meager YouTube channel can bring in. So it's not going to get nearly as much play, though it will take twice as much work.
That'd be better. Just call it Kolteca East, because I want to know it's on the other side of the bridge.
Nice.
Cool. So, all right. Well, guys, I want to talk a little bit about Skyward Sword. I'm going to take a quick jukebox break here. Before we do that, I'm going to run and grab something to drink. But last episode was from Carl over at Scenic 7. And it's from Robo Warriors from the NES. This is a game that I had never even heard of, so I'm not surprised that we didn't have anybody guess it correctly. So this week we'll have a really easy jukebox break. So hopefully somebody will get it right, and we'll be right back after this.
Is it from Ice Hockey?
About some Skyward Sword. Some what?
Is it from Ice Hockey?
No, it's not from Ice Hockey. I should just repeat it, right?
No, I'm just kidding. Just maybe somebody will get it right.
Play Ice Hockey every week until someone gets it. So, all right, guys, we'll be right back. Alright guys, and if you have any guesses with the jukebox break, please write in at classicelite@gmail.com. So, alright guys, you have, Gooch, been obsessed with Skyward Sword, Skyrim, but I've been obsessed with Skyward Sword. You haven't had an opportunity to play this yet, have you?
No, Skyrim has consumed my life, but, you know, next to Uncharted 3... Skyward Sword is right there on my radar. I mean, the reviews have been absolutely phenomenal, and it seems like you're really enjoying it.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. I haven't seen a single review yet, other than Tony telling me that he saw some reviews where some people called it the best ever, and I saw a couple things on Twitter where some people gave it anywhere from a 7.5 out of 10 to a 9 and change out of 10. For me, yes, I love the game. I guess I have to say that first. The thing that was maybe the most surprising for me was it felt very slow-paced to begin with, and I almost started the game off with a little bit of sense of disappointment, and I really didn't like the controls very much, and the story was kind of slow. I wasn't sure what was going on. Some of the things that you were supposed to do early on were a little too cryptic, whereas if you're looking at Twilight Princess, that was a very hand-holdy type of a Zelda game, and here on Skyward Sword, it was almost a little too cryptic. So I wasted a lot of time early on with that kind of stuff. Once I learned some of the nuances and little triggers to look for, the game stopped feeling as cryptic as it had. I can't think of a good example right off the top of my head, probably for the better to avoid any spoiler-type stuff, but for the most part, it was a little more challenging, but not from a satisfaction or a gameplay difficulty standpoint. It just was a little cryptic at first, and the controls in this game are bad. It essentially feels like you're playing Ocarina of Time. The controls are incredibly dated. The biggest thing is I just come from playing Arkham City, where you have a second joystick so you can look anywhere that you want. And here with Skyward Sword, you're stuck having to essentially continually refocus and recenter where you're looking so the camera can feel wonky. It's an old Nintendo 64 style control setup, so I didn't really care for that very much. I do think that they could have fixed this by allowing classic controller support, or maybe Classic Controller Pro, since it has a couple more bumpers on it. But if I take away the controls and the fact that it is on a Wii, so it's going to look a lot blockier than on a 360, the game is really, really fun. After I started to feel like I progressed in the quest and actually through the game, maybe about hour 7 or so, I really started to just get that Zelda itch. I don't know if you guys have that, but it starts to get to the point while I'm playing Zelda games that it won't consume my time when I'm away from it, but I really I'll get all the melodies stuck in my head of the world or area that I was just in.
Zelda's music has always been really good for that.
So I'm in that boat right now where it's just encompassing me from a free time standpoint. It's even though I think when I stopped playing before we started recording, I think the game said I had been playing for 43 hours at this point. And for a Nintendo or a Zelda game, that's a lot of time. But if someone was to tell me that they spent 40 or 50 hours in a Zelda game and they feel like they're only about 2/3 of the way through it, I would have assumed that they spent a lot of time on a horse or something going and traveling a lot. I know in Ocarina of Time, I felt like there was a lot of time where I was on Epona going from area to area, wasting a lot of time and not actually getting a lot of enjoyment. And I have not run into that problem with Skyward Sword. To get from area to area, you fly on a bird up in the sky above the clouds, which allows you to cut down significantly on travel time.
It's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound?
Yeah, exactly. It's sorry. As corny as it seems when you see the bird, too. He looks like a platypus kind of... It's like they took a platypus,
awesome,
and a parrot, and threw him into like Avatar size. And
that's awesome.
I don't know. It's Zelda. They did a really good job with it. I will predict though that this will be a forgotten Zelda title. I think in the long run, it's not going to stand out among the others. I think that it may be remembered as being the last one with shit controls. I really think that. I think with the next generation, I think the Wii U, they're going to have a really, really good Zelda game there. So I think this will be the last one where we'll have the frustrations that we do with Nintendo and their control scheme that they choose consistently on games that don't fit with. So, but Skyward Sword is a game that I would highly recommend, just because it's not going to be one in the Zelda lineage that I think is going to stand out among the others. It's still an amazing game and one of the best games that you're going to get on the Wii. So, I don't know. Is there anything that you guys wondered about the game?
I'm really curious because you're saying the controls suck, which I get, you know, maybe menu interface and moving around and stuff. But what about the combat? That's like the big focus of the game is the sword play with Wii Motion Plus. Is that bad? Do you like that?
Sometimes it is bad. I have to keep
a lot because of it.
Yeah, I guess it hasn't broken the game though. It's just it's gotten me to the point where I've wanted to throw my controller because there's times where I feel like I'm waving my arm like a maniac and it's not cutting the direction that I want it to. So I think they went maybe a little far with the Wii Motion Plus with the sensitivity. It's amazing for flying or doing some sort of vehicle control. But as far as the sword play, I don't know. I mean, it is accurate, but I don't know. It isn't necessary for the game. If you have a general motion up and down or left and right, I think that's sufficient. And requiring the amount of accuracy that it does at some points can be a little frustrating. It's weird, though. The only thing that I can really talk about with this game is the negative side, but I still love the game. It's weird. You just have to play it, I guess, to see where I'm coming from.
I feel you.
It's not the best. It's not the best game, but it's really, really good. There's
was
just
it
things
better than Majora's Mask.
I've liked it more than Majora's Mask because I've been able to complete it. It's been over 10 years since I've even touched Majora's Mask. I had my save file deleted right when I was at the end. And the only reason I knew I was at the end is my brother and I were both playing through the game at the same time and he had just beaten it. So I knew right where I was and I just haven't had the stomach to try to go back and do that game again.
Word.
So since this one's not broken, I'm going to like Skyward Sword better.
All right. I got some Zelda trivia for you.
Shoot.
There was one Zelda game where Link had pink hair. Do you remember which one it is?
A game where he had pink hair. I'm going to guess A Link to the Past.
Oh, nice.
The reason
for Scott.
The reason is because the Super Nintendo does a really good job with pastel pinks and light greens and blues. So when you said pink, I just pictured 16-bit.
Yeah, that's it. And like I heard that recently. I was like, no way. He didn't have pink hair in that game. And I went back, did the old Google image search to check it out. I was like, son of a bitch.
It sounds like a nerd bar bet trivia. It's like you bet someone at a bar that Reno is further west than Los Angeles, and you win a beer. It's kind of like, I bet you Link had pink hair back in the day. You know what I'm talking about? No?
Word.
You guys don't?
I don't go to bars. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's good trivia. No trivia.
You guys need to watch some, like, Pool Hall Junkies or some, like, Swindler-type movies, some...
Does the sting count?
Sure. On a much grander scale than yeah, just ripping off little nerds at a bar. So
word. I everything was going fine, and then I just took the show and I put it right in the toilet.
We like that though. It's all right.
I got another question for you, if you don't mind me veering totally off of the
no,
the
go
set
for
course
it.
Again.
We're at the end. People quit listening at this point of the episode anyways, so.
If this were a TV show, while we were talking right now, the credits would be rolling right over our faces.
Yes.
The music would be playing, trying to get us off stage.
Okay.
Wrap it up.
What did you guys get for Black Friday? Did you guys bring anything home for Black Friday?
No.
Yes.
Ooh, what'd you get?
I took advantage of the Steam sales, like a good little Steam whore that I am.
Nice.
I picked up, there was two games I wanted this year, really, really bad, and I was waiting on them to go on sale. I got Dirt 3 and Deus Ex, Human Revolution, really pumped about that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I got them both $25. I also picked up a few games for my son on his computer. I got him set up with a Steam account that I just gift games to, and I got him, I think, Demolition Inc., some small indie game that he was really digging. Got him something else, can't remember. Picked up Cthulhu Saves the World and Breath of Death 7, and I picked up Fuel for whatever reason because it was $5.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I did that as well. I got a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to list all the games because I went for the $5 price bracket and ended up getting like a ton of games, but short of it, got the Dead Space games and the Mass Effect games.
Oh, Dead Space is... I've only played the first one. I have part two waiting on me, but the first one is phenomenal.
I saw the trailer, and I was like, that has to be mine.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's sort of like what Resident Evil should have become when it went to this over-the-shoulder perspective. And
oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, it's very much survival horror at its finest.
I am doped. I went as far as I have it installed, but I still haven't played it yet. And I also got Fallout New Vegas and Thief.
Oh, the original Thief?
No, they don't have that on Steam, unfortunately. I wanted that, but this is Thief Deadly Shadows. I think it's the third one.
Oh, okay, nice. I don't know if I played. I played a bunch of them, like the first two, I know for sure, maybe three.
The big thing we got for the Black Friday, we actually got this the day before. My wife got it because she works at Best Buy, but we got a PS3.
Nice. Oh,
sweet.
Yeah, and it's wrapped until Christmas, so that's when we're going to open it. But we got the bigger hard drive that comes with Uncharted 3.
Oh, so, I'm jealous.
Oh, so I'm pretty doped about it. And that came the same day as that we got our Xbox 360.
Holy crap. Wow. You have both of those now?
Yep, I have both of them now.
Man.
Except I don't have any games for the 360 yet.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Dude, you did just what I did. You, like, made this big jump from like 16-bit. Like all of a sudden you're like, okay, I've got a bunch of new games.
2 months ago, my computer was from 2004.
Yeah.
So now I have a strong PC and all of the current generation systems, at least for the next few months.
Yep. That's awesome, dude. And I can't believe how much my girlfriend has enjoyed the Xbox. I hope that...
Please tell me what she got, because I'm trying to figure out what games my wife would enjoy.
That's what I was going to... hopefully, you have the same sort of luck. Two that we play a ton. One is, I think it's Ilo Milo or Elo Milo. I forget how to... I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like a $10 indie game, and it's a puzzle game, and it's a three-dimensional puzzle game. And the object is to get two little guys to meet on this board. And it's, since it's in a three-dimensional space, you actually have to do all these cool moves where you maneuver the board, essentially, and where you stand on the board to figure out how you can actually meet up. And the music is good. The art is amazing. There's really good downloadable content. So I would recommend that game. You Peggle and those kind of things are on there.
I'm told Chickstig Bejeweled.
Bejeweled?
Yeah.
We play a lot of, I think it's called Tetris Splash. It's Tetris something, and it's awesome. It's just, it's Tetris, but it's two-player Tetris, and it's excellent. So that's one that I would recommend. What's another one that, she actually just uses it for an entertainment machine a lot. Netflix, DVD player.
That's the big thing, is our Wii was our dominant Netflix machine, and once the PS3 gets hooked up, that's going to change.
Yeah.
So mostly I'll be looking at the PS3 library. Like, yeah. We're going to be getting Bejeweled and SimCity 2000, because she's a SimCity fiend.
Nice. You'll be surprised. There's quite a lot. And there's also Xbox Live. They'll have their download big titles like Limbo and things like that. Peggle, they'll actually release compilation discs. We'll have like three of those indie games all together.
Oh, nice.
So you might find packs where a couple of those games, you might have two out of three or three out of three where your wife might be interested in them. So
very cool. Very cool.
Check them out. But yeah, it's nice now with gaming since these consoles are such entertainment machines now versus just designed to do one item really well. They are so much more accepting for people that normally wouldn't have. Like even today, like my parents fully understand the fact that my game system does more than games.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is really cool. I didn't think I'd ever get to that point. They know that I can watch movies with it. They know I can do Netflix, so it's cool.
I'm telling you, the Commodore could do everything.
Tony still swears it.
Really?
No.
But it's, I was going to say, I know there's some weird like following that still uses them.
No, he still has it, but it's just his favorite system. That was his first.
Right.
So, and speaking of Tony, I have to say thank you to him big time. It was my birthday at the end of October, and as Tony was driving back through town, he dropped off like a box of just awesome stuff for my birthday. He got me a Nintendo 64, controller, cords, all of that. And he got me Ocarina of Time to go with it, so I now have a 64. I've never owned one before.
Oh, nice.
He also got me two box Super Nintendo games, Mario Kart and Super Mario All-Stars.
Ooh, nice.
Which I wanted both of those badly, and Mario Kart, because that's a staple for a Super Nintendo collection. But specifically, I wanted Mario All-Stars, because that's a game that most people, I think, view, or maybe not so much anymore, but at least back in the day, it was viewed as kind of a throwaway title. Like, oh yeah, of course, that's just what comes with the system, and yeah, I already have all these games. But now that I'm looking back, the only I have a Super Mario World cart, but I really love the ports that the Super
Mario... Wait a second. I just want to make a quick distinction here about the two games you're talking about. Did you get Super Mario All-Stars, or did you get Super Mario World, or is it the one that has both?
I have Super Mario World. I got Super Mario All-Stars. So I have two parts. Now I have all the games.
Gotcha.
My girlfriend, coincidentally, though, has the one with all of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have sworn that card didn't exist. So we were sitting there talking one day, and she's like, oh yeah, I had the one with Super Mario World on it. I'm like, no, they didn't make that game. That just doesn't exist. And she's like, no, I swear, like, as a kid, I had that. I'm like, you're just not remembering it, right? You just had the game.
Sounds like you got shown up by a woman.
And I got shown up big time by a woman. but it was totally worth it, because now I have that game in my possession.
I'll tell you what, though, there was something special in the Super Mario All-Stars game that I really miss. That version of Super Mario Bros. 3 that appeared on Super Mario All-Stars had a battle mode. If you played Super Mario Bros. 3, you guys remember this, when you would challenge each other to take each other's turns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They added a mode in Super Mario Bros. 3 where you could just play that, and it was divided up into, like, points.
Really? Whoever,
yeah, yeah. Go check it out and play it. And I wish that they released that mode on, like, the Wii or something somewhere, because you have to buy the Super Mario All-Stars 25th Anniversary to get it. Because I my brothers and I, we would play that all night. All night. That is a good mode. You should check that out with your lady friend. You guys might enjoy that.
Heck yeah. And I just recently, so that we could do stuff like that, I bought Super Nintendo extension cords.
nice.
They're 6-foot extenders. And now, instead of having to, like, move the Super Nintendo, you know, closer to the bed, we can lay with our backs against the headrest and lay in bed and play Super Nintendo. We recently just bought Goof Troop, which that game sucks. Do you remember that cartoon, though?
I remember the show.
Okay. But here, this is really cool, and I wish that there was another RPG out there that would do this. It's basically a puzzle-based RPG, and it's co-op. So both of us are controlling a playable character on screen at the same time, working with each other to do puzzles. And I wish that they would have used that mechanic a little more often. I would have loved to have played through, like, a Final Fantasy with somebody. But, yeah. So one thing Goof Troop got right was co-op RPG. But,
shame the only game to do it was Goof Troop.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, but yeah, if you don't have a very conducive living situation, a.k.a. you're not pressed right up against your TV screen, go get yourself some controller extension cables. I think I spent $11 for both of them after shipping. It was totally worth it. So
I would do that, except that my TV that I have my Super Nintendo hooked up to is only like 13 inches. So if I sat that far from my TV, I wouldn't be able to see anything anyway.
Defeats the purpose. So, cool, man. But, yeah, that's everything I've been up to. I've been playing a crap ton of Skyward Sword, and Tony hooked me up with some really, really cool stuff. And he actually recently had a birthday in November, so everybody say happy birthday to Tony as well.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Happy birthday.
I got him a collector's edition strategy guide for Skyrim.
So my goodness, you're so nice. So I've seen that thing. That's a phone book.
Dude, yeah. I couldn't. It is. And that's what Tony said. He's like, this thing is huge. I thought that it was, you know, like a quarter, half inch thick regular game guide. I didn't think anything of it. And I bought it for him. And a couple of days later, I was at a game store and saw how thick it actually was. I'm glad I didn't have to pay for shipping on that thing.
Did you get to open it? Because let me tell you, it's not that thick because of artwork. That is every bit with, like, charts and text.
No, I didn't. It was still in the plastic wrap, so I didn't get to, like, leaf through it or anything. The
I can't even believe it.
The only thing that I saw as far as any content on what's inside is the Amazon.com little gallery that they had. So.
Word.
Well, good deal. I guess, guys, do we have... Oh, we have a mail segment. We haven't even read any of our comments from last week, have we?
I threw us off track.
No, that worked.
Do some mail?
Let's do it. Let's do it. I think we only have two comments. I think it was Gun Wild and British Steel. It took me just a second here to get the comments up. But I think we'll talk about these comments and then call it a show.
It's a show. Oh, wait, it's not a show yet.
I guess we can always call it a show, right?
Yeah.
It's what it is.
By the way, thanks, British Steel, for writing in every week.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because that guy's got a letter in every single week.
He is. It's like he's our new Balzac.
Word.
Which, so. Balzac did write into GNDB, that email address. And just sort of like a fond farewell kind of email. Like, sorry to see your guys' show go, but glad that I still get to hear you. So just give him a shout out. Like, that was a really nice email, and I appreciate it. I don't know if DB's read it, but
Make sure he does, because you didn't share the email with me, but you talked about it before we started recording, and Balzac, that was really cool of you.
Balzac is a really awesome dude.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. Every interaction I've had with him has been really positive. I know that he's won a few contests with us, so I'm happy about that. I always feel bad if anybody has been participating and they don't win. Kind of like me. That's usually how it works. I must have entered the Retro League like 100 times in a row. Every episode. So let's see here.
I want a Neo Geo game off the Retro League.
Did you really?
How does that make you feel? Yeah.
Rob actually sent me a care package because he felt bad because I didn't win anything. So, here's a you win because you didn't win. It actually sent me an awesome care package, but he, you got a, what cart did you get?
Samurai Showdown 3.
Is that the one that, that Kaiser sent?
Kaiser, what? Absolutely. It was Kaiser's right. Game. Yeah.
Man. He's back, isn't he?
He just got back like 2 nights ago. I'm so excited. Tomorrow we go live on the Mondo Coolcast with Kaiser's big return.
Sweet.
I will be there.
I saw, you put a write up on, Tire Claw Radio about it.
That was a random essay generator that I just put Kaiser into.
It was pretty funny. I thought you would actually, because when you read through it, if you know him, it's a really, really funny article. And the fact that it's random is that much better. It's so fitting, though, that something that was randomly generated fits with him perfectly.
Yeah, that's just the way he is.
So, awesome. So, good to hear you back, Kaiser.
All right, we got this letter. Who's this from?
Gunwild.
All right, you the man, Gunwild. Here we go. Yo, last game I played was Tom Clancy Hawks for the Xbox 360. In a question you had for me last week, I played the first Mafia game and thought it had an interesting story with a dark tone, but poor gameplay. I heard the second one is better, and I haven't gotten around to it. I noticed that it's now a PS3 Greatest Hits game. Maybe it's good, though. I think we all know a red label is no guarantee. So I think I have to disagree with your theory that GTA 5 is going to be a less serious game than the last one. You might have noticed that the trailer voiceover still makes a vague, pseudo-profound statement about American culture, and the protagonist seems to have children. I'm betting Rockstar will try to tell another sweeping story like GTA 4, but fall flat on their faces, because GTA's anything-goes nature isn't made for that. What do you want to bet that there's some kind of stupid system where you have to maintain relationships with your kids or something, when all you want to do is steal cars? Remember having to play darts instead of going to missions like you wanted to? I hated that, and I'm not looking forward to Rockstar's next attempt at integrating role-playing or social stimulation or whatever they think is clever into their flagship title. But maybe that won't happen, and it's actually going to be groundbreaking and fun. I'd like to be surprised like that. If you have the time, my best Thanksgiving gaming memory was playing Madden 2001 on my PS2 with my little cousin while the rest of the family watched real football in the other room. Neither of our teams were in that game, so we decided to play Madden match with both of them. It was enough fun that I don't remember who won. Last thing, which will come out first, Shenmue 3 or Mega Man Legends 3? Bye, Gunwild.
I'll go with Shenmue 3 just because there's a lot of hatred right now for Mega Man Legends fans.
You are more likely to see Mega Shenmue Legends 9 than either of those games ever come out.
Would that come out on the Dreamcast 2?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet.
So, cool. Gunwald, excellent email. It'll be interesting to see what Rockstar does. Critical Fair, do you play much Grand Theft Auto?
I tried to play Grand Theft Auto 4 last week, and it's the first game this computer hasn't been able to run.
Wow.
Yep.
So, yeah, you do. I never really got into that franchise. Gucci, you play much?
Yeah, I played a lot when they come out. You know, I get excited and jump in with the hype and usually leave about 2 weeks after.
I think what we were talking about last week was that Grand Theft Auto has kind of a goofy tone, a little bit goofy overtone.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really working. And they were distancing themselves from it. Was that it?
If I remember correctly. I thought that it looked like the tone, if I remember correctly, was Rockstar was making Grand Theft Auto look to be a very serious game, and Tony predicted that it was going to be a lot more towards the cartoony is not the way to say it, but
tongue in cheek
sort of, yeah. And it looks like Gunwild's thinking that Rockstar is going to try to keep it in a very serious vein. So
I'm with Gunwild on this one. I think the tongue-in-cheek stuff is only going to be to break it up, or I think that kind of stuff is only going to be there for the developers to have a laugh while making it, and it's going to seem really out of place in an otherwise really serious game.
Could be. I'll only know from other people's opinion. There's no way I'm going to play it.
Let us not forget that Grand Theft Auto 4 was the game that started Rickrolling.
Oh, man.
People are anticipating, hey, this is the Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer. That was the first Rickroll.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Look it up.
Huh.
Never gonna give you up.
They just did, was it South Park? They just Rickrolled somebody on like a TV show I watch. It's funny. Cool. We have one last email from British Steel, and then we'll say thanks to our sponsors and friends and get out of here. British Steel writes, and he says, I'm really out of the loop and ashamed. This is the third episode in a row that I don't know the jukebox break. The only gaming memory that I have for Thanksgiving is playing Ms. Pac-Man on the SNES with my parents one year when we were at a relative's house. My folks have always been apprehensive and condescending about video games, but when I played, one of the very few they had, my dad had a hardcore nostalgia moment and kicked my ass in the game. it turns out that he played the coin op version religiously at a gas station before he was even born. So yeah, British Steel.
Nice.
You never know what you're gonna find out about your parents.
Word.
You know, he's
same gas station where he met your mom.
Sorry. And there goes one listener.
I'm kidding.
No, but it's weird. You know, he's sitting here thinking that his parents don't like video games at all, and they're condescending about it, and come to find out his dad's actually awesome at one.
That is really cool.
Cool stuff. So
cool story, bro.
Awesome. Well, everybody, just want to say hello to a couple friends of the show. We haven't said hi to friends in a little while, so we will do that. The Retro League is still going strong. They just came out with, I think, their 109th episode. I think that was the number. I listened to it today. Rob and Hugh are still plugging along. You see Dustin, Vogue Nasty over there from time to time. Chewy from the Manipool. Their editor, John, and then a guy, Brandon, who's around their forums. So check them out. Also, the Paranerds. Haven't said anything about them in a while, and their show's still going great. Kevin and Rui are doing well, and they're keeping Canada afloat, as far as I can tell. So everyone also listen to the Paranerds. We just gave Jerry Terrifying a shout-out, too. We haven't mentioned Mondo Coolcast in a couple weeks either. So
good stuff. The next one that comes out tomorrow is going to be a big one.
Yes, and that's the return of Retro Kaiser, you said. And that's does Jerry still do that at 10 o'clock on Thursdays?
10 o'clock on Thursdays. So unfortunately, by the time this comes out, unless this comes out tonight, it'll probably be over.
Already. Oh, that's not. So as you're listening to this, hopefully you were there yesterday.
The MP3 should be out by now.
Definitely go to monocoolcast.com to download the MP3. Because Kaiser will be there. That's really what it comes down to. I'm pumped he's back.
I know he's got all kinds of crazy stored up in him that's just going to be unleashed into the world. I cannot wait.
My girlfriend's going to be pumped too. She actually just a couple weeks ago was like, has Kaiser put out a new episode recently? It's like, no. Cause she loves the first 20 minutes of right before he gets to where he's about ready to play a game and like do his own like live review. Like she just can't get enough. So, it's awesome. So cool. Well, those are our friends that we got to say hi to. And then lastly, we need to say thank you for people that support the show. Doghouse Systems. Again, the promo code CLEET, CL337 will give you $25 off your purchase. Hapog, and Aver Media both providing high quality, hardware for us to capture, gaming footage for you guys. Gamersgate and J2 Games are providing amazing deals for our listeners. At J2 Games, you also get an additional 20% off your purchase with the same promo code as Doghouse Systems, CLEET. Check out our stuff at glitchedout.com and Gamersgate. Now remember, glitched out is glitched-out.com. Also, play some games at OnLive because they rock. And other than that, thank you very much for listening, and we will see everybody next week for episode 74, Critical Failure. Josh, you guys got anything you want to add?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Strong ending. We'll see you guys next week.
I like it.